dear friends, it's so good to see you in church on this second Sunday of the new year. How many of you were here last Sunday, by the way? I want to congratulate you. You have 100% attendance for this year. And the rest of you, counting today, you can be here for 52 Sundays of this year still. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm so glad you had a heart to get up this morning. Or did somebody push you out of bed today? Maybe it was the Lord saying, you ought to be there. And you came, and I congratulate every one of you. This morning, I want to talk to you about heaven. Isn't that a wonderful subject? By the way, how many of you are planning to go to heaven? Let me see your hands. Seriously, I'm looking at you. By the way, you have to have reservations made for heaven. Did you know that? Peter says, speaking about heaven, reserved in heaven for you. Reservations. Have you made your reservations for heaven? And you say, how do you do that? Well, you go online and, no, excuse me. You don't even have to have a computer or anything like that. All you have to do is pray. And God has an open line, and he's waiting to hear from you. Has he heard from you calling out, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please come into my life. Do you think he would do that if you asked him? What does the Bible say? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let me ask the question again. How many of you are planning to go to heaven? How many of you'd like to go today? You're thinking about that. Did you realize, seriously, and in this room, and the first picture will come up here so you can just think about heaven with me. I want to think with you about heaven and how to get there. Now, that's not a picture of heaven, but it just gives you a little feel of the wonder of what it's going to be like. Did you realize that it's very possible that of this group, just look around, see all the people here? It's very possible that one or more of us will be in eternity in this year. And eternity means forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. And as I was praying about what we ought to think about as a fellowship of believers here during this first part of this new year, it occurred to me maybe we ought to be thinking about both heaven and hell. I hope you'll come back again next week when I want to talk to you about hell and how to avoid it. But this morning, I want you to think with me about heaven and how to get there. I think I was especially stirred to move in this direction because some of my friends have just entered heaven in the last few days. You already heard the name of my friend David McClurkin. He's been a friend for many years. And if you know him, you know that he has been serving as a pastor right here in this city at Cambridge Community Church as the teaching pastor. And just a few days ago, he was walking with his wife Gladys in the Laurel Creek Conservation Park that's up in Waterloo, and tripped, fell, hit his head. Walked back home. They walked back home together, but it wasn't long, and all of a sudden, the Lord saw fit to call him home. And that funeral service was just held this past Wednesday. Another friend of mine, Dan Kerr. If you go up to MBC, you no doubt have met Dan and his wife, Joanne. And they were in Florida. New Year's Eve, just a week ago yesterday, suddenly he had a heart attack, was called home to heaven. And his funeral was yesterday at our sister church at Forward Baptist. And Thursday of this week, another gentleman who had moved to Canada from Romania just 6 years ago. And cancer took him this last Thursday. And I conduct that service tomorrow morning in Kitchener. Already, three people, praise the Lord, each of those men knew and loved Jesus, and I know where they are today. They're in heaven. But I want you to be sure that you also are prepared for heaven. And I want you to think with me about the wonders of what heaven is all about. As you see this next slide, notice what it says. And by the way, if you have notes, maybe you'll see a little green sheet in your bulletin. I'd like you to take that so you can write down some words that'll help you to stay awake for these next few moments. And also so you, when you go home, you'll be able to reflect, oh yes, we talked about heaven today. I want you to know that heaven is the most wonderful place in all of the universe. Do you believe that? I do. And did you know this? That Jesus called it my Father's house. And he promised that all who have received him, and this is the promise he made to his disciples, and if you're a disciple of Jesus, this is his promise to you as well. He says this, I am going there to prepare a place for you. That's very personal, isn't it? Heaven. And I want for you to think with me about this. When we talk about heaven, what do we mean? Well, you know, actually, the Bible uses the term heaven to refer to three different places. It speaks of three heavens. Now, some people talk about, I was in the seventh heaven. There frankly isn't a seventh heaven, but there are three heavens. The first one is this. It's the atmospheric heaven where the birds fly in the air. But there's another heaven. We can call that the stellar heavens, where the stars are beyond our atmosphere. And what an amazing thing it is to study the stars. And then the amazing expanse of this universe that God has made. But there's a third heaven, and that is where God's throne is. And you can read about that. The Apostle Paul talked about being in the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Lord gave him an unusual experience. I've never had it yet. I'm looking forward to it, but he had it, and he saw things too wonderful to be explained. Oh, how amazing heaven is. I want you to get excited about it. God has made it, and he's made it not only as his home, but he's made it to be your home as well for all who know him and love him and have received him as Savior and Lord. And, you know, in this year, people are talking about the year 2012, when the world, when the universe ends. And there are some predictions that have been made. Of course, there have been many predictions of when the world will end, and this is another one that's come along. Don't believe it. Why? Well, I believe that this world, as we now see it, will be around for at least another 7 years. Because the Bible speaks about not only the rapture of the saints, which could take place at any time. Are you ready for that, by the way? I hope you are. But it speaks also about 7 years of great tribulation that's coming upon this world, that's going to be climaxed with the Battle of Armageddon, when the King of Kings returns and you and I who love him with him are coming back with him. Are you looking forward to that? Wow, what a future you have in front of you as we then reign with Christ. The Bible speaks of 1,000 years where all of the imperfections of the past history will be overcome, and all of the perfections that God intended for this world will take place. And at the end of that will be then the total destruction, the dissolving of this world and of all the stars in the heavens, and God will make a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness forever and ever and ever. Now, I just gave you a real fast look at what's happening in the future. I want you to see it from the Bible itself. Will you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 21. The last two chapters of the Bible speak about the wonders of heaven. By the way, isn't it interesting? Your Bible, the first two chapters of the Bible talk about creation and everything being made so wonderful and pure. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in the Garden of Eden? And Adam and Eve did until sin came, and death came as a result of sin. But you know, the rest of the Bible is God's story of how to take sinful, fallen mankind and give us another chance, and give us hope and redemption and salvation. And now we come to the last two. So the first two chapters of the Bible are nothing but perfection. The last two chapters of the Bible are nothing but perfection. And I want you to see it as we turn to Revelation chapter 21. I won't read all of those two chapters, but let me read the first 8 verses of chapter 21 of Revelation. May I invite you to stand with us as we honor our Lord and as we honor His Word and as we find this amazing account of what's going to happen. Listen to it. The Apostle John is writing and he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Oh, Heavenly Father, these sobering words stir our hearts. May we respond to say yes to Jesus Christ and to be ready for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, you may be seated. I want you to think with me about several things here briefly that this passage tells us about heaven. I want you to see, first of all, that heaven is beautiful, and then we're going to see that heaven is big and that also who lives there. But heaven is beautiful. I want you to see, look at Revelation 21. You still have your Bibles open. And I'm going to begin reading now with, let me begin with verse 9. one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." By the way, I'm looking at the bride. All of you who know Jesus as Savior are part of the bride of Christ. That's His true church. Now, there are a lot of people that go to church that really aren't part of the church. The true church is made up of all true believers. And now what the Apostle John is seeing here is this great host of people who have been redeemed, and I hope you're part of that. And he calls it the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. And that Lamb is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who was the sacrifice for our sins. And that's why he's called the Lamb here, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, this is what John saw. And here, look at verse 10. "And he carried," this angel, "carried me away," he says, "in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as the stone of a crystal clear jasper." And that's an overview of the amazing New Jerusalem, the heaven, which is the place, the home of God and of all who know and love the Lord. But the verses that follow give us some detail. Do you like some details about your new home? Well, let's check out the walls. You can write that down first of all, the wall. Look at verse 12. "It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the gates 12, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel." So a great wall we see here, and this wall is really very, very big. I want you to notice how big it is. If you were to look at verse 17, "And he measured its wall," in this translation that I have, the New American Standard, says 72 yards, 144 cubits, and the cubit was about 18 inches. So, or you might say nearly 70 meters. This is talking about the thickness of this wall. Can you imagine that? And it's made of jasper. Look at verse 18. "And the material of the wall was jasper." What's that? Well, jasper is a beautiful quartz stone which has in it iron oxide and different colors of white and red and yellow and brown and black. That's jasper. What an amazing wall. I want you to see not only the wall, but look at the gates. That's the second thing we see here. Look at verse 12, we read about it. "There were 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels." And these gates are amazing. Look at verse 13. "There were 3 gates on the east and 3 gates on the west," on the north and the south and the west. 12 gates altogether. These gates are, by the way, look at verse 25. You'll see that these gates are never closed. That's what it says. Verse 25, "And in the daytime there shall be no night there. Its gates shall never be closed." Now, there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He also said, "I am the gate, I am the door." And the moment you received Jesus as Savior, you spiritually walked through that door and came into everlasting life. What a wonderful truth that is. But when we think about heaven, heaven has more than one gate. It has 12 gates, and those gates are never closed. As I use my sanctified imagination, I think about that. Heaven's my home, but there are 12 gates that are never closed. That kind of suggests we go in and out. And what heaven is going to be home base for all of us who love the Lord. But when you just imagine the recreated new eternal universe that God's going to make, I can just see him saying to you, I'd like you today to go over there and check out that planet. Will you do that? And just see the wonders that I have created there. And you come back from that saying, telling everybody in heaven, wow, isn't God amazing? Look at his creation. And you worship him because of what you see there. And maybe he's going to say to you over here, I'd like you to go out and check out that solar system over there and praise me over there. And then he's going to say maybe to you, I'd like you to go way over there, that far constellation way over there. And you just become overwhelmed with the amazing wonder of the greatness of our God, of what he has created, and it causes you simply just to worship and adore him with all of your heart. The doors are open all the time. Well, notice something else here. Not only walls and gates, but foundations. Look at verse 14. It says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And these foundations you'll find also in verse 19. Look at this. Verse 19, the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald. And all you ladies are thinking of the jewelry store, aren't you? Wow, wow. And you think of stones, it may be in a little ring, and a beautiful stone spoken of here. Listen, these are humongous stones. These are foundation stones. Isn't heaven amazing? And it goes on to say also in verse 20, it just tells all these other 12 different kinds of beautiful stones. Well, what a foundation. And by the way, you'll notice the names of the apostles are on each of these. And on the doors, you remember, it was the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. What you see here is a wonderful picture of how God is bringing the redeemed from the Old Testament and the redeemed from the New Testament into modern times all together here in this wonderful, perfect place called heaven. I want you to see something else. Streets. Look at verse 21. And the second part of it says, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Can you imagine walking on gold? Some of you'd like to have some gold in your pocket, wouldn't you? But imagine just walking on it. I heard of a man who was a rich man, he thought, and he actually had gold bullion and that was stored up and in his safe. And it came time for him to die. And he so much wanted to bring this with him, so they put it in a trunk or a suitcase, a case, and he was ready to go to heaven, he thought. And when he arrived, now don't believe what I'm going to tell you now because this isn't true, but but when Peter met him at the gate of heaven, and here he is holding this trunk or this case, and he says to the man, what have you got in that? And so the man, he said, open it up. So he opened it up. It was gold. He says, what? You brought pavement? Yeah, well, heaven is so amazing that we walk on gold. And by the way, that's a better place for the gold to be, at your feet rather than in your heart, isn't it? What are you living for? I hope you're living for Jesus and for eternity and not just to acquire a nice bank account. And gold is where it ought to be, walking on it. I want you to see something else here about these streets. It says the street, but it's really more than that. It's really streets because there are 12 gates, and so there are streets going to each of those gates as well. Oh, heaven is amazing. Now, there's another thing I want you to see besides streets, and that is there's a river. If you go to chapter 22, the final chapter of the Bible, look at verse 1. Again, the Apostle John is on this tour of heaven, and he's got an angel as his guide, and it says, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." My, what a... So this is, notice its purity, pure water. And oh, how our world wants pure water. Here's where you really find pure water. And notice its vitality. It's the water of life. It gives life. And not only that, notice its source. Where is it coming from? Coming right out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amazing. Are you getting the picture? By the way, this is the ultimate picture of what's going to take place prior to that, when during that millennial age, according to the Bible in the book of Ezekiel, there's going to be in the Jerusalem of our present world, when Jesus comes back, will be a river flowing right out of the temple and going all the way down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, how many of you have been to Israel and been to this? A number of you have. Well, then, can you just imagine what's going to take place on that day when the water flows out of the temple and goes down to the Dead Sea, which presently is one-third salts and minerals, so that nothing can live in it. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's the lowest place on the face of the earth, 1,300 feet below sea level. And the only way water gets out of the Dead Sea is by evaporation. So over the hundreds of years that water's been going into it from the Jordan River and other rivers, bringing minerals with it, the water evaporates, the minerals stay, and that's why no living thing, no fish in the Dead Sea. But according to the Scriptures, in that millennial age, there will be fishermen fishing there. Why? Because living water will come down into it and flood it. But this is even more wonderful. This river that is going to be the eternal river of heaven forever. And I'm looking forward to standing by those waters. Oh my, what a river. The river of life. And I want you to notice also that it comes out of the throne of God, flowing down from the throne of God. By the way, have you ever sung the song, "Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? With the saints at the river that flows from the throne of God." Now that song is based upon this very scripture here. And that's where we're going to gather, aren't we? We'll be there. I hope you're looking forward to that amazing day. Well, what do we find else here? Notice this, not only a river, this amazing river, but trees. Look at verse 2 of Revelation 22. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And what you see here is an amazing boulevard with a river flowing right down between and trees on either side. And you get the picture? Won't that be amazing? And I want you to see something about these trees. They're amazing trees. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and they yielded fruit every month, continual fruit there. Oh, what an amazing place. But there's one more thing I want you to see in describing this heaven, and that is light. Look at the light. Chapter 21, Look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Again, who's the Lamb, class? Jesus. And he said himself, didn't he? He said, I am the light of the world. And he means that not only in a spiritual sense, but here really in a very literal sense as well. And there was no need anymore for a sun or a moon to give the light because the glory of God illumined it. Oh, how amazing. No need for any other source of light because God himself. Look at verse 24. It says, and the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory to it. And verse 25, and in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. So the light is there. And notice also chapter 22 and verse 5, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. They, who's that they? You and I, who know and love the Lord, we're going to reign with Christ forever and ever, with our headquarters being this holy city. Well, there's something else I want you to see. Not only heaven is beautiful, but I want you to notice heaven is big. See this? Look at chapter 21, and verse 15. And the one who spoke with me, this angel that's giving this tour to John, had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And notice he talks about how big it is. Notice verse 16. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles, is what it says here in this translation. And its length and width and height are equal. In the King James, it says 12,000 furlongs in each direction. Or if you were to put it into kilometers, 2,200 kilometers in each direction. Now, that's pretty big, isn't it? And by the way, this is a cube. Down that wall for 2,200 kilometers, and that wall for 2,200 kilometers, and that wall, it's square. Not only that, it goes up the same way that far. Can you imagine the surface of heaven? The idea is that heaven is big. And if you were to figure that out, it would take you from Ontario on one wall, Ontario, all the way to Florida. And then from Florida all the way to Arizona, and from Arizona all the way up to Saskatchewan and back here again. That's pretty big, isn't it? And then you think about going up as far, and I figured that all out. You know how many cubic kilometers in the New Jerusalem? 10,648,000,000 cubic kilometers. I get the idea of humongous, don't you? In other words, there's enough room for everybody. God intends, it's not his will that anybody should perish. The only reason people go to hell is not because God condemns them there, but because they choose not to receive Jesus as their Savior, as the only way to heaven. Oh, may God help every one of us to be prepared for heaven. So, heaven is huge. There's room for everybody. And I want you to say that make sure that you are personally ready for heaven. God wants you there. Don't refuse his invitation. Make sure you've made your reservations. Now, I want you to see one other thing. Not only is heaven is beautiful and heaven is big, but I want you to see the people who live there, the blessed inhabitants. And here it is, heaven's blessed inhabitants. And this next slide will show this to you. First of all, God Himself is there, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Well, look at chapter 21 again, verses 22, and says, "And I saw no temple, for the Lord God," that's God the Father, the Almighty, "and the Lamb," that's Jesus, "are its temple." And not only that, but look also at chapter 22 and verse 17. Not only is God the Father and God the Son, are they there, but also, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." Now that Spirit is speaking about the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is there as well. And how wonderful this is. The triune God is there. We're going to see our wonderful Savior and in all of His glory. But not only that, I want you to see who else is there. Angels are there. Well, over and over again in the book of Revelation, we find angels in heaven. I've just listed one of the many texts that we could have given. If you go back in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, John says, "And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them." How many angels do you think there are? We're myriads and myriads and thousands, and if you're, the King James Version says, 10,000 times 10,000. You know how many that is? 10,000 times 10,000. How many is that? 100 million. And then it goes on to say, "And thousands of others." You're going to see angels. Have you ever seen an angel yet? I heard one fellow said he was married to an angel. I said, "How do you know?" He says, "Because she claims she has nothing, no earthly thing to wear." And she's always up in the air harping on something. Now, I have heard of people who have, they believe they have seen angels, and I do believe that God does send angels at specific times to help His people. What does the Bible say? Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse says this, "The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of eternal life." Now, if you're a Christian, angels are assigned by God to minister in particular to you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I believe angels are in this room right now. We do not see them. They are spirit beings, though at times God allows them to take on temporarily a human form and to do things to help people in their particular need. We find this in the Old Testament. We find it in the New Testament. And I believe that it could even happen in our day today. And I've heard people give testimonies of how something very unusual, somebody showed up at a very split second time when help was needed, and then they vanished. That could have been an angel, as far as I'm concerned. But I do know that angels minister to those who love the Lord. Aren't you glad about that? But we're going to see them there. We're going to see all these angels, just like John saw them. Myriads of angels. Not only that, but I want you to notice another group that's going to be there. Redeemed people. Oh, I love this. Go back again with me to Revelation chapter 22. And as this last chapter of the Bible, look at verse 3. "And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants will serve Him." Who's that? That's us. By the way, some people said, who wants to go to heaven? It sounds so boring, just sitting on a cloud and strumming a harp. Now, that's the devil's lie. People who say that have not read the Scriptures. God tells us that we're going to be very, very active and nobody gets bored in heaven. It's going to be so exciting, so fulfilling, and forever with the Lord. And I don't know what all we're going to be doing, but I know it's going to be wonderful. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love Him. Do you love Him? All right, this is for you. And oh, may the Lord prepare us all. I want you to notice we've been talking about heaven. That's just a little overview. Maybe you should take a little peek quickly at Hebrews chapter 12, because here's another view of the people who are going to be there. And I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 12, and verses, we'll begin reading with verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the one we're talking about. And to myriads of angels and to the assembly and church of the firstborn, that's Jesus the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven. That word rolled, enrolled. Are you enrolled? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. See, God has a book called the Book of Life. And every true believer, your name is there. Let me ask you, is your name there? You can be sure of that this morning if you call out to God and say, oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Please save me. Make me your child. And He will do that. Because of His promise. And that's who's going to be in heaven. And it says not only that, to those who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And all of those verses summarize all of this. The triune God is there. Holy angels are there, and redeemed people are there. Praise the Lord. Well, I have one final slide to show you. This is the big question. Heaven's exclusive entrance. Remember we said we're talking this morning about heaven and how to get there. And here's the answer. John 14, verse 6, say it with me. Jesus is the only way. He said there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. No other way to be saved. I want you to see another scripture verse. It's from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, and here it is. Nothing sinful shall enter heaven, only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how to get there. And I hope every one of you will be there. Now, this final slide asks a question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or to hell? And if you're not sure about that this morning, it's my prayer that you will become certain that you will go to heaven before this day is finished. If you have any further questions about that, I'd be so happy to chat with you. Feel free to contact me, and by the way, not only today, and we'll be here again with you tonight, but feel free to touch base with me or with Adrian, and of course with any of our elders or deacons, feel free to talk to these godly leaders of our church. We'd be so happy to share with you, talk to Pastor Aaron or others, and we'd just be so happy to explain to you more fully so you can know for sure. By the way, let me just say, I'm also here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I'd be delighted to meet with you. Feel free to touch base with the office, and let Linda know, and she'll be putting it on my schedule. I'd be happy to meet with you. But right now, let's take this time to pray as the team comes to lead us. Father, do minister to our hearts, and may none of us leave this place without the certainty that heaven is our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen.